If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret, searching for the sound. This is the Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Wanted to let you know that the Sound Stream is now available exclusively on the Sound app. You can now listen 24/7 to a music stream featuring jam bands and more, much more. So not just what you'd expect, but a few surprises along the way too. Curated by the Sound Media Team, the stream offers up your favorite songs by your favorite bands and artists, both live and in the studio. We'll also be adding specialty programming and much more. So get it today and listen wherever you want for free. Get the app for iOS and Android by searching for The Sound Podcast and Stream or at app.thesoundmedia.com. Just hit the orange button, press play, and boogie on. The show starts now. Been listening to Express 76 from UK soul R&B funk outfit Crowd Company off their recently released record Lowdown. Yes, I was stunned too when I initially heard this band was based in London, England. Having said that, they are immensely talented and have some true funk chops, but also a few friends who helped make this record. Now, that isn't to say you can't make funk records in London. It's just to say that maybe we haven't heard enough of them in the jam band scene. In fact, the record was produced by Alan Evans, a member of Soul Live, in his studio in the Boston area. Also, you may not instantly recognize the horns, but they are in fact Lettuce's Ryan Zoidis and Eric Benny Blue. They are absolutely outstanding. So obviously we wanted to learn more about this band and got in touch with Rob Fleming, the lead vocalist and guitar player in the band, and for all intents and purposes, the band's leader. Our conversation started when I asked Rob specifically about the band's sound and what he hopes to achieve with the music they make.
I guess it's best described as a combination of funk and soul. It's, you know, it kind of, I think has a nod back to some kind of vintage, you know, early 70s, late 60s kind of funk soul sounds, but it's got its own kind of modern, got its own modern take. So it's, we're pretty into, you know, really trying to have some, you know, good kind of songwriting and catchy hooks and, you know, twists and so on. And then there are elements of the sound which are, you know, more jam band, I think, with, you know, instrumentals and, you know, solo sections and so on. But it's really mostly about the sound, the songs, and it's an 8-piece band. So it's, you know, organ and horn section, bass, drums, and three singers. Yeah, so that's basically our sound.
Yeah, it is a great sound, and it is a throwback. I'm really impressed with the overall talent in the band, the songwriting. I'm curious about the songwriting though, because you know, this kind of music sort of does take on a pretty regular form. Is it about writing great songs that meet the form of the music, or how does that process work for you in terms of figuring out what goes where? Is it the instrumental? Is it the melody first, or are you writing lyrics first and then building around it?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I mean, I think the thing, especially with this album, we really didn't, you know, we didn't have like a templatized kind of view of what we wanted to, what the song should conform to. So there are actually a number of songwriters, and we just really just worked away at what we liked and felt worked as songs for us, and then, you know, put it all together, and luckily it all hung together well as an album, I think. So we're pleased with that as a collection of songs. In terms of the writing process, I think, you know, actually a lot of the music was probably done first, and then melodies and kind of lyrics, more that way around. I'd say not exclusively so, but in the main, more that way.
So the big question for me and people who listen to this show is how you came across Alan Evans to produce the record. To produce this record in particular, and then coming across here to actually make the record.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, we got to know Alan actually back in 2014. We actually, his side band, Alan Evans Trio, AE3, mm-hmm. came over here and did a little UK tour. And that was the very beginning of this band that I'm in, the Crowd Company band that we opened for him on that tour, and kind of remained friends ever since, to the point where when we recorded our first album, we recorded it over here, and, you know, we were just wanting a different kind of mix. The way it was coming out was not quite as we were kind of hoping. So I remember that he had a studio, he still does, a very successful studio. Mm-hmm. And got contacted him and sent him the tracks. He said I'd be happy to mix them. So he mixed them. From there, you know, the friendship grew, and then the last album and this album we recorded actually at his studio. We went over to the States, to Massachusetts, Miller's Falls is where his studio Iron Wax is, and we recorded the album there. So that's kind of how that happened. Along the way, Al and I became, you know, good friends, and we're actually partner in a label. So we've actually got a label which Alan started, which, you know, he and I are now the partners of, Vintage League Music, VLM. Which is the label that we released Crowd Company through, and a lot of his projects and many other bands as well. So, yeah, it's been a great friendship, and you know, we enjoyed going back to the studio there last July. Recorded that week for this album Lowdown, and yeah, that's how that all came about.
And our good friends Ryan Zoidis and Eric Bloom are on the record. I'm curious how you added them into your horn section,
yeah.
and how you even knew about them. I mean, did Lettuce make any noise in London, England?
Oh yeah.
Oh, really?
In fact, they're over here now in Europe.
Yes.
They're doing a European tour. Actually, I went to their gig and saw the guys a couple of weeks ago in London. They've been here a few times, mm-hmm. and yeah, they've got a big, you know, pretty big fan base over here. You know, the gigs were packed out. So I've admired that horn section and the band generally for some time. I didn't know them, but as it turns out, for this album, our regular horn section, you know, was not able to make the recording and come over to the States. And in the end, actually, we've changed horn sections now. But at the time, we didn't want to cancel the trip. We wanted to get the album done. Spoke to Alan and said, maybe we can ask the Lettuce guys, who he obviously knows well and has played the Soul Live and so on. And turns out they just had a gap in their touring schedule, so they were able to come down to the studio and participate in the album, which was great. So they did an outstanding job. We're so happy to have them on board, and great guys as well.
You're touring this record in the UK right now. What is the plan to come over to North America? Is there a plan to come over to North America?
There is. I mean, we don't have the firm dates yet, but that's the big thing we're working on right now, is to try and get that sorted out. As it turns out, as we look at all the the listener stats from Spotify and Apple and all that, and and the record sales, the physical record sales, it turns out we've got more sales in the US than we have over here. So we've got to get over to the States. So we're trying to put together a run of dates on the East Coast. We don't have that firmed up yet, but that's what we're kind of working through. But that's the goal, is to get over there. I've played over there in the past in other bands, West Coast, but not with this band. So, you know, we really want to put something together and get over there.
I guess that's the big thing, right, with this kind of music, is that while it sounds very good on tape or on CD or on digital, whatever, the live performances is really where you need to see the interplay between the horn section and the rhythm section and the lead guitar and all of you prancing around the stage. I mean, the live show really is the thing, right?
I think it is. Yeah. I think particularly with this kind of music, I think you're spot on that. And, you know, we really thrive off playing live, and, you know, we got a lot of energy into the performances, and, you know, we stick to the song structures, but then, you know, in the main, but then we adapt a few things here and there, and, you know, enjoy the instrumental sessions as well. And there's a lot of energy from the band live, and you know, that's where we thrive. So yeah, that's really important, to be honest. And of course, with that kind of setup, what's really key is to really do the best you can to capture that vibe onto record, which is sometimes harder than it, you know, sounds. That's why we were pleased with this one. We felt like it really captures what we do well, and we record a lot of it in one room in our studio, you know, live. And, so we're pleased with that. But yeah, the live shows are really what it's all about for us, to be quite honest.
It's true, actually, that capturing it in the live room and not having too many overdubs probably takes care of that. Were you rushed for time? I know that sometimes when bands are rushed for time, they rely on overdubs because they don't want to take, you know, do eight takes until they get it right. What was the process like with Alan in terms of getting these songs down on tape? Was it a lot of live to tape stuff, or was it some overdubbing as well?
Yeah, I mean, we did do some overdubbing when we recorded all the basic tracks, all the, you know, bass, drums, organ, guitar, played vocal, you know, one room live. And we didn't take too many takes. I think some of them were first take, second take, that kind of thing. And then, yeah, we did do the overdubs with the voices, with vocals and harmonies and the horns. But, you know, in the week that we were there, so this wasn't like patching it in, you know, later on a different, you know, different continent or whatever. We did it all together, and ended up with this, you know, the album finished when we left, apart from the mixing. Alan had to finish the mixing off. So, so yeah, that's how we did it. I mean, I think with the studio, the thing that we really like with his studio is that it's a very kind of relaxed environment, a very natural environment. It sounds great, you know, as soon as you plug in and start playing, and it takes away, for me at least, I've been doing this for a while, I think a lot of it is about getting everybody relaxed, creating the right environment so people don't feel pressured and so on, and then just, you know, that's when you usually perform the best. And he definitely, his studio and the way he likes to go about doing the recording and production is very much got that in mind. So, you know, it really made things very easy for us, to be quite honest.
The harmonies also stand out for me. Because the band is so, and don't take this the wrong way, loud. It's actually very, yeah. It's actually a very positive thing. Because the band is so, so loud, is it hard for, I guess that's something that's accomplished. Well, it's accomplished probably easily in the studio because you can do overdubs,
yeah.
But live, it's a little more difficult because you can't say, okay, we're going to do this and then add vocals after. How hard is it for the three vocalists to be on cue, on tune, and rise above all of the music that's going on?
Yeah. No, it's a really good question. I mean, I think in most bands, there's often sometimes a little bit of a battle here and there. Some gigs, depending on the sound around, you know, monitors and so on, around vocals, mm-hmm. vocalists, and, you know, wanting to be heard properly and against the music. So we do all of the, you know, everything you hear on the record, we do live, you know, so there's no kind of cut down version mm-hmm. vocally. You know, it works well. You know, a lot of it is dependent upon the room and the guy that's doing the mixing, to be quite honest. And, you know, you're kind of somewhat in their hands in terms of levels of monitors and so on. So we, you know, that kind of sound check part of the of the day and getting everything dialed in well is really important for us. And then it tends to be, yeah, it tends to be fine. Although it's a big sound, we're not like super loud on stage. You know, this isn't, you know, a band where we're cranking up the amp to 5 or 6, you know,
right.
10 or whatever. You know, we're pretty respectful of that. And it's to our minds, it just, you know, it's just a lot better to play on a stage where you're not deafened by a guitar amp and all that. But nonetheless, the fact that there's 8 of us and there's horns and all that, it means there is a lot of sound coming out and we have to take care on the, you know, on the monitors and so on to get the show mixed.
What's the funk and soul scene like in London, England? I always think of you know, Britpop or even even North American pop or hip hop or other sorts of music being really hot in England, but more and more I'm feeling, well, we mentioned that Lettuce is over there and they're doing okay,
yeah.
And there are other bands. What is the scene like for funk music and R&B music in London?
Yeah. No, I mean, there's definitely a scene. I mean, pretty much all the genres you guys have, you know, we have, and there's scenes for all of them, mm-hmm. you know, including country and blues. There's, you know, pretty big scene and all that. But I'd say it's just a lot smaller. I mean, you know, there's not the, you know, obviously the quantity of venues and festivals. I'd say the fan base is not as extensive. The jam band scene, like the pure jam band scene, is not as strong mm-hmm. Over here as, you know, more the kind of funk soul scene, I'd say. Although obviously they all intersect, so it gets a bit difficult to, you know, characterize every band by those categories. But it's a fairly healthy scene. I mean, there are some, you know, we've had Soul Live over here, sold out, you know, London. George Porter, we supported him actually, opened for him. He came over with his band a couple of years back, yeah. So there's some real diehard fans that come out. The, you know, shows sell pretty well. It's just not as big a scene. I mean, there's definitely, you know, there's a lot of kind of historic kind of bands that have been around a while, and there's some kind of crossover kind of newer, kind of new soul kind of funk bands and that do really well. I'd say in the more kind of Lettuce kind of vibe kind of bands, there's less of those, but, you know, there are some, and So yeah, it's a, I'd say it's a fairly healthy scene. It's just you know, it's just not as big by any means as the US. But quite a few specialist shows now, like radio shows and things, on BBC Radio. This guy Kratos, you may have heard about. He's a big guy in the scene. And then there's a lot of speciality shows and internet radio and podcasts and all that have really helped with that. So it's it's pretty extensive, just nowhere near as big as the US.
I live in Canada, but knowing Americans, when you come over, they'll think that you're just an American band with a funny accent anyway. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, we've seen what's happened with, I mean, we're friends of these, you know, those guys, New Masters fans.
Of course.
UK. Yeah. Yeah. So we're good friends with them. We've opened for them a few times over the years. And yeah, they've obviously done really well, but they obviously, you know, really focused on that US market. And to be honest, they're not playing in the UK too much now, maybe a couple of times a year. So we can see that those guys can do well, and they've obviously been really well accepted by US audiences. And so, I mean, that's a good, you know, that's a good template for trying to do something similar. So we'll see how it goes. We're encouraged by, you know, a lot of the listeners being outside the UK and US, and actually quite good healthy numbers of Canadian listeners as well. So we just need to get over there and do some shows. Look to do some festivals. We have some great festivals in North America that we'd love to get over and do if we could.
Rob, thanks so much for taking the time. Lowdown is a absolute must listen to. I really enjoyed the record. Thanks for taking the time and continued success. And we can't wait to see you over here in North America again real soon.
Oh, thanks very much. I really appreciate that. And yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
So there you have it. The English Getting Down with Soul and Funk in a jam band kind of way. And we're thoroughly impressed. You can learn more about Crowd Company by visiting crowdcompanyfunk.com. Before we leave you, let's listen to another tune from Lowdown. Here is the album's title track.
You love.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.